It was on this day, June 4th, 1950, that the switch went on for the first time at the transmitter for K-Man Radio. And today we're taking a look back at the evolution of K-Man Radio and Manhattan Broadcasting and the radio industry. And next on the phone is a man that spent some, 24 years here at K-Man and Manhattan Broadcasting, longtime operations manager and the guy that hired me, actually, in 1983. I don't know if you remember that or not, Roger Hamilton.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And please, please inform everybody that I was skinny at that time.
Yes, you were, and your hair looked a little different then, too.
It was a little longer and a little more brown.
Well,
Roger, thank you for joining us here.
Okay. I went through cancer surgery 20 years ago, and have a fake voice, but I can still put it out.
And we're well aware of that, and we're I think we're all thankful that you know, that you've got good health, and you may not have made a complete recovery because you had a a wonderful broadcast voice, but today we're looking at content and memories, and I know you have a lot of from your time. You started here in 1967, and that was the building was still downtown at the time.
The building was downtown. We were very active in remote broadcast. We'd go everywhere in the K-Man mobile mic, and like Steve said, in the boats to get around town. And we had a relay that was up on top of Bluemont Hill. And so the radio from the boat or the car would go to the top of Bluemont Hill, then come down to the radio station by telephone wire, and that's how we communicated back and forth. There wasn't a lot of ways then because there weren't cell phones and things like that. But the building was a very interesting place. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
The building was a very interesting place because it shook when the mercury started to press every day. You hear the press start to go down to the basement and the building would make a move. That building was parts of that building actually were taken out to build the news station when we built it. I remember taking the glass out in the back of pickups so we could put the glass in the walls around the studios at the new K-Man building. But that's gone now after the fire. That was not safety glass. It was taken out. I could probably talk for a long time about the building down there, but I'm sure there's things that you wanted to talk about. I didn't make a list of the kinds of equipment that we used back then.
I love the technology side of it, so go ahead.
Because it was really quite a little bit different than what you're used to today. So the first thing I ask you, Dave, is do you know what a 635A is?
That's an electro voice microphone.
There you go. You're right on top of it.
I think we still have one here.
Absolutely.
Very skinny ones.
If you have a studio, you need to have a 635A. Real-to-real machines. We had an Amtex machine. And then the ones that we really used a lot were called Maggies or Magnacord. And those were ones that rewound really fast because you didn't have a whole lot of time to make switches and changes. When I came to Manhattan Broadcasting, I had learned to record on a wire recorder, which had just two loops of a wire in. You record it, and then you turn back and listen. And cart machines just started. So we had a brand new Fidelipak Spotmaster that came in that I was so excited about because I hadn't got to use one like that. We also had some really interesting turntables made by Recoca, huge console like Steve was talking, processors, and of course the clock. One of the things that I did want to mention was Global Jack probably was one of the best broadcasters in the state of Kansas. He was open to everything new. He wanted to see his people advance. He was willing to take chances. Part of the reason that the National Weather Service put weather radars in was because Lowell Jack was one that went across the state and helped to bring that to fruition.
You know, I'm learning so much today, and I know our listeners are as well. The building that we are now in, still on Casement Road, and we've had, I think, three expansions since it was initially built. That was in 1972. There are a couple of things that I think came into play in the design of the building, and some of that had to do with the addition of KMKF, the FM. And also, I understand a lot of it was determined by the Vietnam War.
Okay, one of the things that happened was I ended up coming to Manhattan at the beginning of a time that was pretty tumultuous. I came in July of 1967. By the next March, Robert Kennedy had been killed, and I got to meet him in August of 67 when he spoke at K-State. After that, there were several fires, including the Nichols Gym fire, which was December 68. And there was a list of businesses. There were local businesses that were on a list to be burned. They were the ones in danger. K-Man actually was one of them. Another one was what was the name of that beauty shop down on Main Street? The hair.
Crumbs?
Crumbs Beauty School was one. The Manhattan Country Club was one. Both of those were burned. There was an attempt to burn Kentucky Fried Chicken on 3rd Street, but it was stopped. And during that time, I went off for 4 months to learn basic training. And I remember coming back in the summer of 1970 and going up the steps on the case down, or downtown of the old building at 2 o'clock in the morning because I was so happy to be out of Fort Leonard Wood back in Kansas that I met a policeman who was on guard up there just waiting to see if anybody was coming in to burn the building. So it was quite a time, quite a change in the community. When K-Man was built out there, Lowell was very concerned about that. So first the concrete block was built, poured, so that we would be safe in a fire, in a tornado. And he'd been here for the 66, so he knew about that. And that was quite a construction. So the block was built first. Then the building was built around it. And there were no windows in the building except for one in the back that had bars across it and plexiglass windows in the front. Part of that was designed in order to keep anything from burning. It was kind of an interesting part of the development. Was that some of the things you were thinking about?
Yes. And then also, you know, the technology, you know, and you were a part of things also that kind of came into play with automation with KMKF. And what was the computer's name? Was it Earl?
Yes, the computer was Earl, but the reason that Earl was bought was because KMKF was not going to be allowed to be constructed unless it was constructed under an auspice of being a classical radio station for the community. So we spent thousands of hours tape recording classical music and had a mammoth classical library that signed KMKF on as a classical station. The only difference was when Steve Jack came in at 10 o'clock at night and Casement Road started up. So you had classical all day and then a massive change at 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock of Steve and a little bit on the psychedelic side. And then back to classical the rest of the time. So as time went on, we calculated and all tracked it and I tracked it. How long is it going to take before people don't care whether it's a rock station or not? So first thing we did was Ed Klimak was there and then as the program director. He was my PD for FM. And we created another show before Casement Road. And then Roger Heaton, who we called the Heater, who's at WIBW now, he came in and ran the show before that and sold the best pizzas he could, do a live advertising, a piece a year, mouth would just drip. So then all of a sudden, we had a rock station from 6 o'clock to. Then all of a sudden, the Ed Klimak Kansas Dog Show started in the afternoon, and we had rock from 2 in the afternoon until 2 in the morning, and pretty soon we threw the classical music out.
Tell us about what it was like trying to restructure radio after a fire here on Casement Road in 1988.
The restructuring was it my life at that time. I know it sounds ridiculous, but the stress radio was tough. And I had developed a bleeding ulcer at that time. So Lowell said, well, take a couple months off and don't worry about things. So I went on a trip. Well, when we had the radio station built, we built a false roof across the addition and put soffits underneath to make an air difference between the false roof and the regular and put fans in. Well, what happened was it was hot. Somebody drove up to register for a free Coleman camping cooler, put his car under one of those soffits. The car engine caught fire. The fire went up into the vent, and those fans just sucked those flames across the roof, took the whole building up. So when I got back from the West Coast in a car ride, the whole area outside was covered with material, stuff everywhere, and we had to start over and rebuild. Arlo Lehmitz and Ron Wells, who's now county commissioner, was the builders, and they started immediately to redo the building, but the smoke was terrible and everything had to be torn out. So we put up a mobile home for Chuck Bourne back behind near the transmitter, put an air conditioner in that thing. We took our Marty's up to KKSU and they allowed us to broadcast every day from up there at the university on the, I don't know, the second or third floor. So I'd go to the morning show at K-State and I'd come back and work till sundown to rebuild, and we just went back and forth and bought as many things as we could and put things together as fast as we could. I think we had that thing back and going in operating condition within about 2 months.
Roger, we've got so many things that we could probably talk about. We just don't have enough time, but I'm very grateful that you were able to take some time and visit with us about some other things. You know, we didn't even get to talk much about the people. You know, Charlie Howe, you talk about Jim Kastner and so many other folks. Mark Jansen was a sports guy. You know, those are a lot of things that the people will remember most about radio for that time frame.
I can tell stories for hours, David.
Oh, I bet you could. That'll be another interview some other time. All right, my friend?
Some of them, maybe not on the air.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, Dave.
Thank you so much.
And I'm so glad you're doing well. And every morning when you come on the air, I listen to you on my Zenith 500 transistor radio.
Now, that's old school.
Yes, it is.
Roger Hamilton joining us, former operations manager here at Manhattan Broadcasting for what seems like a lifetime ago, right?
It does. It really does. Happy birthday to you all, and good luck.
We'll visit next with Rich Wartell, who was general manager at Manhattan Broadcasting for a little over 26, 27 years, something like that. He'll be next on K-Man.